Hello everyone and welcome to JFG Tonight. Hopefully this night it works. I've been talking with the Odyssey people and there were some bugs that were known and that are the reason why yesterday it stopped working. And in fact it could have worked, but I didn't know how to restart a new stream, so I've learned through their support team. They are really wonderful. They showed me the right buttons to push. I just didn't know yesterday, but I could have returned on stream. It's just that Odyssey gets bugged when you open up a stream and you announce it like in 1 hour from now and you start streaming right away. You can't do this with Odyssey apparently. So that's what could have caused the bug. Today the bug was continuing because it had taken over my entire channel, but thankfully with the interaction with the support team, they have fixed it. And so we are back on Odyssey, and there are some people who used to watch the show on YouTube who have learned yesterday that that I had moved on Odyssey, so it's good to be here. Lots of stuff. One moment. I'll take a 10 seconds break. I'll be back. All right, I had a lot of coughing to do. Keith Richardson says, Odyssey was buggy, thus whole palindrome week. Yes, no, the stream isn't down. I just had to cough a lot. I had to give a good cough. Lots of news happening. The Russia-Ukraine situation is continuing. And on my side, we went to a friend's house today. And he has a cow that he milks, and it produces way too much milk, so he gave me a big chug of cow milk, and I immediately came home and made cheese. Look at this. I made a cheese, so I curded the cheese, I pressed it into a mold. And now it's drying and acquiring a crust, a rind. I don't know what's going to happen with this cheese. I've not respected all of the traditional rules of cheese. I had no rennet. I had none of the bacteria involved to create an acidic environment. I didn't have the lipase, but it is a cheese, and I'm looking at this and I'm feeling great. I'm feeling like this is my child and it's going to grow in the next month. Hopefully it will not become bad. Some people are complaining that there is lag. Hopefully this gets fixed. Lappytop says, is it raw milk? Yes, it was raw milk. So it had about 40% or maybe 30% fat. There was a big layer of cream above the milk, and Firestarter says, so it's butter? Well, it's very different from butter, because butter, you have a mechanical disruption of the protein, which leads to only the fat getting out of the milk. Whereas a cheese like this, that has been weighed through acidification, it's really the whey. And so there's much more proteins in there than you would have in a butter. So no, it's definitely a cheese. It's not like I've not violated the rules that much. Now it's currently at 70% humidity. I have a nice place in the house that is very cool. Val says, no lag, audio perfect, video crisp. Well, wonderful. That's what I want to hear. Stephen Robinson says, what kind of cow? It was a Jersey cow. And so it's giving. This was about what? I guess maybe 8 liters of milk, maybe 10 liters of milk. I don't know how much I had, but it led to a big plate of cheese. And so now the challenge will be to create a good rind for this cheese and let it Of course, the lipase, what it would have done is it would have digested kind of the fat structure of the curds, and it would have led to a softer inside. But I like the idea of having a very curdy, more like cheddar, parmesan, like very or cheddar, a very dry structure. That's what I want, so I don't mind. But normally, if you want a continuous inside that doesn't fall in crumbles, you would have lipas. But I didn't have that. So hopefully, it will turn good, and I'm gonna buy lipas because I'm having way too much fun doing this. I've had a couple of science questions that I want to resolve. First, join me on Entropy. It is my favorite platform for super chats. It is the right place to send me your questions and super chats, or you can use the support button below the Odyssey video if you'd like to simultaneously encourage the Odyssey platform, which has been amazing for our freedom of speech. Yesterday, I was on YouTube, by the way, and I couldn't say anything. I was like, well, I was like, I had done a 45-minute show on Odyssey. And then I was on YouTube and I was like, well, that's pretty much all I had to say. I can't talk much more about the U Ukraine Russia stuff. My positioning might be, by the way, I think it's the next censorship cause. I think the next thing you're going to see in the censorship domain is the platforms are going to go against support for Russia. They're gonna find a way to classify Russia as a terrorist entity, and they're going to go after anyone who says anything positive about them, I'm pretty sure. Wait till you see a full engagement with the Ukraine force and potentially support from Western countries. It's coming. Thomas says, I could live in a house made of feta cheese. Sure. Lappitop says, shouldn't you compress it? I did compress it. I don't know if I should compress it even more, perhaps. For now, I'm letting it dry a little bit because I want it to form a hole. But I've been putting it under weight for a couple of hours. So the cheese has been compressed, but yeah, I could be compressing it for days, maybe. But for now, that's what I felt I needed to do. I needed to get it out of its compression device and make it dry because I felt like there's too much humidity in there. We have to get rid of some of it. Will JF's cheese succeed? I'm asking you to make a call about my cheese. No Lipas, no rennet. I don't know if it can survive, if it can get into something beautiful. I also didn't inseminate it with any proper bacteria, so I'm going to have to bet that the bacteria that are around in the milk will somehow be the right ones. I hope that's the case. It's a lot of challenges. I think that the chances that this cheese succeed is relatively low. If it succeeds, then the question is why are these companies going through the trouble of putting so much more effort in and so much more ingredients? Daisy Chain gene drives for the alteration of local populations. Chronic Boom was sending me this article, and I've already talked about gene drive. You will find an episode of JFG Tonight called CRISPR and Gene Drive. I don't know exactly the title, but you'll certainly find that easily. So gene drive is the idea of putting into the population a gene that is modified to increase its representation in the population. So it is the gene is designed to overly dominate the sexual reproduction, therefore not appear in just half of the children, but appear presumably at a natural selection threshold that is higher, that therefore the gene keeps increasing and increasing its presence in the population. Now it can become the idea of gene drive can be combined with any sort of intervention you would want to do on an ecological species or an ecological system. For example, one way it was used in the US, and I'm pretty much against it, but one way it was used in the US is to introduce a gene that makes, I believe, all of the female fly babies sterile. So essentially, it's a delayed generation effect that, okay, you succeed, you spread, but two generations down the line, everyone dies. And the goal of these, and what could go wrong? What could possibly go wrong? The goal being, in that case, it was to fight a certain fly that carries a certain virus. I believe it was the Zika virus or something like this. I find this pretty wild and pretty anti-nature. And I would want human societies to understand that if your society is formed in a way that the Zika virus carried by flies is a problem for your survival, you have a problem. You better fix that problem than fix the flies or the mosquitoes. In any case, so this particular system is called, it's a supplemented gene drive system. It's called the daisy chain gene drive. A daisy chain gene drive is the idea of doing what I just described, but making your system rely on three or maybe more chromosomes. So you essentially have a molecule that does exactly what I described, but you also have another molecule that says, do not do this if you don't see this molecule. And then this molecule is dependent on another system that says, do not do this, do not produce this molecule if you don't see this other molecule. In the end, what it results in is a kind of luck key that says, okay, this gene is going to have its effect, but only if B is here, A is here, and C is here. And they are designing the A, B, and C part so that they slowly disappear from populations if there is no more function for them. The way they're they're playing with two wicked evolutionary forces. On the one hand, they're playing with a force that says, okay, this gene will spread throughout the population no matter what. And then they're playing with these other genes that will slowly disappear from the population. They are setting them up so that they tend to be less than drive. It's the opposite of drive. They tend to self-eliminate. And the way they do this is by coding into them a kind of evolutionary disadvantage so that they will get into less sperms or less eggs. So that's inframeiotic drive. It's the opposite of drive. I don't know if Robert Rivers would have a better word than drive for this, because it's kind of anti-drive. It's they are coded with an evolutionary disadvantage. The reason they do this is they say, oh, this is going to be a good way to control that our gene drive projects don't spread too much in nature. And to that, I will say, that's your theory. But once you try doing this, I suspect there will be some issues. Once you tried truly implementing them, I think that there's going to be evolutionary paths for the gene to that has suprameiotic drive that spreads more to eventually not care about the presence of the genes that spread less. So they are designing this as a kind of stopgap measure that will keep our interventions in ecological systems from spreading to too much places and become dangerous for potentially other countries. But I don't think it's going to work. I think it's going to work in the lab. It's going to work in a limited time and place in the environment. And then nature will do whatever it wants with it. And it's probably not going to be beautiful. So I didn't know about this system, this daisy chain system. I'm happy you sent me that, but I have my reservations. Because nature doesn't care how you set up these genes. Nature will play with them if it needs them, and it will kick them out if it doesn't need them. So any feature you implement in a gene, once it's out there, nature will decide what it does with it. And that may be something we should have learned with the whole... I have an important news here. I'm trying to look for it. Did I lose it? I wanted to talk about that news. Well, it's... There it is. So further evidence has appeared, further evidence that is even more damning than previously, that COVID has been produced in a lab. It supports the idea even further that the genetic code was not just a random genetic sequence emerging from nature, but that laboratories were playing with the genome of COVID. It's in the Daily Mail today. More evidence COVID was tinkered with in a lab. Now scientists find virus contains tiny chunk of DNA that matches sequence patented by Moderna 3 years before the pandemic. That I didn't know about, and my evaluation was already that given the nature of the furin cleavage site, that it had to be a laboratory manipulated virus. But now we know that Moderna, the very people who are producing the vaccine against this virus, as it turns out. Isn't it ironic? No, it's not ironic. It's like, this is how it would look like if someone decided to farm humanity for money. Like, I'm gonna produce a virus and I'm gonna produce the vaccine and I'm gonna get rich. So Moderna, 3 years before the pandemic began, they patented a sequence of 12 nucleotides present in the furin cleavage site of SARS-CoV-2. So I was already saying that, look, the furin cleavage site of SARS-CoV-2 definitely has something weird about it. You just look at it from the evolutionary tree of coronaviruses, it stands out. And on top of it, we had the EcoHealth Alliance revelations that they were working on precisely adding this kind of cleavage site to coronaviruses. But now the exact sequence of 12 nucleotides and the entire sequence of the furin cleavage site is 19 nucleotides, but the 12 of them that have been patented by Moderna finds themselves in SARS-CoV-2 in the furin cleavage site. So at this point, it complexifies the picture of the lab work that has been done here, because you could have an hypothesis it is EcoHealth Alliance that did it, but what's Moderna doing here? Was Moderna involved in private collaborations with EcoHealth Alliance? Was Moderna the ones? Or is it that someone saw the patent of Moderna and someone at EcoHealth Alliance was working on modifying this section of the coronavirus? That would explain it. So it wouldn't mean direct involvement of Moderna. It would mean that someone inspired themselves from the work of Moderna. Or another hypothesis is there were so much modifications of coronaviruses and there were so much CRISPR kits being run onto coronaviruses. By the way, the patent was unrelated to pandemics or vaccines. The patent was about, they were trying to develop a coronavirus that would get inside your body and kill all cancer cells. And instead, and this is the lesson, nature does whatever it wants. Instead of this happening, instead of creating a superb anti-cancer virus, they just created a superb virus. So that was the goal of their patent. It was like, we're going to create a coronavirus that is so evolved toward infecting humans. It's going to specifically infect the cancer cells. And it's going to kill the cancer cells and keep you alive. That is extremely solid. You have some discussion in the Daily Mail article. Some scientists are saying, well, you know, it's just 12 nucleotides, bro. Let's get through the creationist arguments here. What are the chances that in a space of not 4 billion years, in the space of 3 years, you have a company that develops a 12 nucleotide sequence meant to cleave furans in coronaviruses. And 3 years later, you have a pandemic of the virus carrying that cleavage site. And on top of it, there is no evolutionary history of coronaviruses attaining that type of cleavage site with that kind of sequence ever in the history of coronaviruses, as far as we know. The chances are very low. We're beyond coin flipping here. We are flipping millions and billions of coins here until that happens. And on top of it, you have the Eco Health Alliance letter saying, yeah, we're going to do this. Trudeau revokes Emergency Powers Act. And here he says he's confident that existing laws and bylaws are now sufficient to keep people safe. A reversal here of the attitude of Trudeau, who 2 days ago was soliciting a vote from the parliament to get these emergency powers. I don't know what is... So he applied the emergency power for 10 days. I don't know what is the motivation here. As he realized that it was giving a very bad image, as he accomplished what he wanted and he doesn't need them anymore. But in any case, it shows that a movement of protestation of the kind of the trucker convoy wouldn't have much strategic needs to be able to play beyond what the government's game is. Like, it would have sufficed that the organizers of this trucker convoy are able to calm down the momentum, let Trudeau do this 10 days after he abandons his emergency power, and then come back to protest. I hope this is what happens. I hope we see further legal protest. But I don't know if, having lost their momentums, can we still count on the truckers? Well, certainly it seems we can count on the truckers in the US, because now movements of truckers are reaching Washington, D.C. Very interesting. And Washington, D.C. has deployed the exact same reaction as Canada. They are mobilizing soldiers, National Guard, and they are talking about potentially selling... they are already talking about selling the property of truckers to pay for the cost. So will this happen in America? Is it as easy to get emergency powers? I wonder. I don't know. But in Canada, they didn't give a shit. Dark Urza says, Jeff, good outcome overall. CPC leader ousted. LPC plus NDP exposed. Right-wing hates cops. Emergency rescinded. Canadian spirit at all-time high. Yeah, you can't... you're right. You know, I said that I was blackpilled about the trucker convoy, at least as far as what they were able to accomplish. But you're right. The list you just gave there... it's not nothing, it's something. Something happened, and that is good. But long term, unfortunately, I think we have too many voters that are careless about liberties, and that our nation's direction has not changed fundamentally. That's the problem. It's a fun activity, it's fun, it brought the attention to certain issues. I'm happy about it. But we don't have a recorded and claimable accomplishment. Rodi Lacid says, JF Trudeau gave the NDP a gift with the largest influx of immigrants next year, and that's why the NDP gave them the vote. So NDP gave preferential treatment to foreigners, rather than the freedom of their own Canadian citizens. Well, it's a nice way to phrase it, and that's true, but are you surprised? I mean, this is the whole game of far-left parties, whether it's the wings of the Democrat that do this, or in Canada, it's using immigrant populations with the hope that they will be voting left as they arrive to Canada. It's a very sad, very... overdone political strategy. Some random bloke sends a super chat on Entropy. Thank you so much for supporting the show. He says, hey, JF, did you see that Mark Collett's bank accounts got canceled again from the Ford Institution? Oh, really? I didn't know. Too bad. That really sucks. I'm still very sad that we live in this situation of ideological extortion and unpersoning. It's a nightmare, it's a shithole, and it's what Western civilization has become. So too bad, that sucks. I hope that Mark Collett can sustain himself and find ways to survive, find services. It sucks that it's that way. I can't believe that we are in that situation when you have charters of rights that say you can't discriminate. How did we reach this level of political discrimination in a world that has protections for citizens? How did we let this happen? That's why I kind of have a let everything burn down attitude with Western civilization. You know, let it crash into the brick wall, because I don't think there's any fixing this. How do you fix the fact that the entire corporate world is in bed with politics and they are operating a cartel of human decision making and human attention through YouTube and unpersoning through all social media and bank systems? Thankfully, we have Bitcoin to hang on to, but Bitcoin, they will soon knock at the door of Bitcoin, and then it will be Monero. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, so the Emergency Powers Act is over, but the mandates are not. Does this mean that we can go back to downtown Ottawa? Yeah, I mean, that's what I was suggesting, that we should... If there is still momentum and will on the side of the protesters, they could very well resurrect the protest and maybe do certain things differently so as not to trigger the Emergencies Act again. I don't know if that will happen. I hope it happens, if they can accomplish more. Rick Shermantal says, JF, Peter Schiff is going to debate Richard Hart on crypto. He also commented on Hex on his podcast. Yeah, I'm very happy that this debate is happening. I think it may have already happened. I don't know. I'll watch it when I get a chance. Todd Criminal says, Jeff, what do you think of the idea of genetically engineering animals in factory farms to not have nociceptors? So nociceptors are the receptors for pain. I think there's something unethical there, in my view, and I would justify it as follows. We cannot deprive a life form from the protection mechanisms that it has to handle the harsh environments on the basis of considerations of well-being. In other words, if nature led to this situation being painful, it is your responsibility, if you create that situation for another life form, to stop creating it. It's not fair to deprive the life form of its ability to receive signals from the environment that indicates danger for it when you are causing these dangers. Now, arguably, if you push that to the extreme, then you could say, JF, why aren't you against the injection of xylocaine as part of an anesthesia strategy during surgery for animals? Because in a way, when you do a surgery and you inject an anesthetic, you are depriving the life form of a of a capacity to receive pain, because you know that what you're about to do will cause pain, but you also know that the surgery is in the interest, well, at times, if it's a surgery aimed at saving the animal, it's a surgery that is being done for the interest of the animal, or at least what you conceive to be their interest. So I guess that what I just said about you can't deprive animals of nociception, if you apply it to the extreme, that would mean you can't apply anesthesia to animals for surgery. But I guess that you could say that the context of a surgery is fundamentally different. That you, when you are a surgeon, you take under your shoulder, under your arm, the care of the animal. You take the survival of the animal under your full responsibility. And that means the animal doesn't need nociception in that situation. But to deprive an animal of nociception in their entire life, that to me would seem too much. Generally, I'm against modifying animals too much. I'm for what nature will give them. So if there's so much of a problem in the way animals are treated in farms, they will eventually evolve to have the right receptors for the right pains and to get rid of those that are too bad for them. Plupchute says, was Ottawa a trap? Well, that's the theory of certain people, including Owen Benjamin. But the thing is, you can always have first, there's no evidence. It's not because the regime reacts violently and reacts with doxing. And in fact, the doxing got worse today. We have learned that some of the people who got doxed from GiveSendGo, someone published a Google Map trace of their entire movement. So apparently this person had access to the Google Map database for some reason, or maybe he had access to their phones or whatever, but he was able to trace the entire movements across the country of some of the people involved in the trucker convoy and some of the people who had given money through GiveSendGo. That is even more extreme than the database being published of names and emails of the donors. So yes, there definitely was harassment, but it's not because something was used as a trap that it is a trap. To say it's a trap, you need to show me evidence that the organizers of the Ottawa protest were intending it as a trap and that they were really hoping to catch people. So I'm not going to... Yeah, and that's a beautiful way to phrase it, Filthy Basio. He says, Owen Benjamin is a trap. Yeah, I mean, by this standard, any movement, any protest, any comedian is a trap because they gather information about you and you don't know what happens with that information. So I'm not very warm at the idea of pointing the fingers and saying, this is a trap, this is a fed. You know, this is the new accusation today. Years ago, it would have been, oh, you're a fed. And now today, it's, oh, you're a trap. Your movement is a trap. Grapes Coda says, overall, JF doesn't like engineering biology too much, though, so I'm not sure. Send him an entropy question. And that was in reaction to King Anus saying, yeah, I was thinking about that. What is JF's opinion on cultured meat? Well, if they want to do it, and if within prices, if they reach prices that are interesting for consumer, and if consumer can live from this, I have no objection at them doing it. But don't start coming with the government and punishing the cow farmers and saying, oh, you're eating real meat from real cows, we're going to charge you a tax. No. You can exist. You can do your cultured meat in laboratories. Do it. Don't annoy people who choose otherwise, because there is something There is some wisdom at trusting that the natural process is better than the artificial one. Who knows, at some point, cultured meats will have to cut through their nutrients and will be able to do so much more efficiently than a farmer can. So somehow, when you are eating a cow, when you are eating meat from a cow, you are putting yourself through a natural process. This process includes the whole natural process of transforming the energy that's in the grass into protein that is tested to work to sustain the life of an animal, the life of an animal being the cow. Now, by eating the meat from that cow, you are accessing nutrients that have proven that they could sustain life in a mammal. That's not trivial. Your cultured meat, maybe its ingredients will be exactly the same as a natural cow, but maybe not. And maybe if there's a shortage induced by Vladimir Putin, I don't know, let's say Vladimir Putin decides, I'm cutting the delivery of this substance to America. And then, oh, suddenly your cultured meat doesn't have the same levels of calcium and whatever other nutrients, maybe some nutrients that we don't even know exist, some vitamins that we've never heard of. Then what? I don't want to sound the scary alarm of conspiracies around Putin, you know? I think it looks like MSNBC and Rachel Maddow, like he's gonna cut down our electrical power grid. But you have to think about it. You have to think that cultured meat is a system that hasn't proven that it can sustain life. It may prove life. It may sustain life in principle, and it may work for a week, it may work for 10 years. But nature has such a better proof of work system through the whole, my farm animals are healthy, therefore I will be healthy. My vegetables are not, you know, covered in mold, and therefore I will not be covered in mold. That's something that cultured meat can never meet. Pun not intended. Science Girl says, brain activity inadvertently recorded at the moment of death shows a rapid memory retrieval process. If life does flash before you, the huge question for me is why? That is fucking science poetry. Back in the days when I was an academic, I would have said, oh yeah, that is good. We can publish this in a high-profile paper. It's not a brain scan will not tell you whether someone is in a memory retrieval mode. It's more complex. Certainly something happened before death in this brain. Maybe it's a memory retrieval process. Maybe it's a strategy retrieval process. Maybe the guy thought, oh fuck, my heart has stopped beating. What can I do to get the fuck out of this place? So I'm in a fucking brain scanner. And boom, you get an activation of the memory centers because the brain is like, I have to find a way to get out of this place. But by which side do I get out of this fucking brain scanner? All this to say, from some memory area of the brain lights up on my brain scanner, therefore it's a memory retrieval process. Therefore, the guy saw life pass in front of his eyes as he was dying. That's the narrative that is being pushed here. Or it could just be that the brain says, fuck, I'm stuck in a brain scanner and my heart just stopped. How the fuck do I get out of there, of here? And as the brain recovers, the word fuck and the conceptions of do I need a brain, do I need a heart beating to live, and the spatial memory of where am I and what is this brain scanner doing and how do I get out of there, you could have the exact same activation. So don't believe the poetic explanations on brain scans. They are crap. Stephen Robinson says, Jeff, maybe God is downloading the memories in order to judge worthiness for the eternal age. That is extremely original. No, it's not happening. I was about to say maybe in some world where God exists, but no, it's not happening. No one is downloading your brain. At the moment of death, what happens is mostly you have some failure, probably of the heart, and within 10 seconds, your brain stops working because it's lacking energy and lacking blood circulation, and nothing will be left of you as your body turns to dust and nothingness. If we are attacked, we will defend ourselves, Ukraine's president says. So the Russian situation is evolving. U.S. Secretary of State says Russia is putting final touches on forces for a full-on invasion. So there's a continuation of the discourse of the U.S. saying there's an imminent invasion, could be. We have seen the leaders of the two independent republics, LPR and DPR, have sent a letter to Vladimir Putin requesting military help to combat the aggression that they are the victim of by Ukraine through shelling, among other things. And so the fact that they have sent this letter leads me to believe that Vladimir Putin wants to be involved in the conflict. Of course, that would be hard to disbelieve because he basically did all of this. And my suspicion is that these letters are not independent letters from the DPR and LPR leaders. I think that they must have asked Vladimir Putin if he wanted to receive these letters, and Vladimir Putin told them, yes, I want these letters. This will give me a good reason to get involved locally. And anyways, Putin has been positioning tanks in a way that suggests that he wants to... He's not just interested in defending the DPR and LPR. It looks like he's interested in cutting off a part of Ukraine. You look at the positioning of the tanks here. If he was really fighting just for this, I don't think that such positioning would be necessary. It depends on how bold Putin wants to go. But and this is a very good video, so I'll give you the link to this YouTube video. It makes a perfect analysis of the military strategy here. And, you know, it depends on how bold Putin wants to go. According to this video, he would want to go here, and this would be his main force, and cut the possibilities of communication between the rest of Ukraine and the front line around DPR and LPR. So if he does this, that's a kind of restrained invasion. But if he triggers these forces toward Kiev, then we're getting more and more into a full-scale invasion of the whole country. It all depends on what Vladimir Putin truly needs. What does he want from this? Does he want the complete abolishment of Ukraine? Does he want complete power over the whole country? Does he want to leave a Western buffer zone for potential refugees to go there? And does he need Kiev? Is it important for him to have an impact on Kiev? Or would he be satisfied just of cutting off Kiev from the lines of communication with the East? Anyways, very interesting analysis, so go watch it. It's by Military and Foreign Affairs Network. Some random bloke says he wants to restore the USSR. Well, that is a bold goal. It's very bold if he wants to do this. Todd Criminal says, Jeff, what is your opinion of the idea that the brain releases DMT in the moments before death? I don't even know. I'm so uninterested about this. It's like, I don't care. Maybe you trip before you die. My suspicion is a lot of the deaths, your body doesn't even know that it's going to die. So why would there be an evolutionary force taking care of how you feel at the moment of death? From a natural perspective, that is the least interesting moment ever. It's like the moment at which you're about to become truly sterile. Evolution does not give a shit about how you die. Evolution only cares about how not to die. This is why it's, and that doesn't mean that, oh, maybe there's a signaling pathway in the body that activates because you have low oxygen, and when you have low oxygen, the body reacts in that way because it's trying to survive. All of this is possible. But think about it from an evolutionary perspective. What is death? Death is not even a thing. Death is just the absence of life. It's the absence of life. Like, you have to see it through two forces. There's entropy. There's like the whole thermodynamic reality of nothing can last infinitely. Everything is subject to destruction. Entropy always increases. And then you have the other tendency, which is, okay, but I can sustain some chain of reproduction if I create some of these effects in the physical universe for at least some time. The meeting of these two tendencies is death. That's what it is. We should teach this in elementary schools, don't you think? Jim Oft says on Gab, FDA expert urges CDC to tell the truth and prison the data after it refuses to publish data on booster shot effectiveness over fears of vaccine hesitancy. We've seen something absolutely amazing from the CDC this week. It's that they will stop publishing certain data because they are afraid of how they could be interpreted by vaccine hesitant people or people who want to promote vaccine hesitancy. The problem is they've been publishing this data when it was advantageous to them. And now that the data is so disadvantageous to their position that there's not one way in which they could possibly spin it, they hide it. This is anti-science. When you do science, you have to commit that you will reach a conclusion and you will be transparent about the data, no matter if it goes your way or the other way. That is cherry picking, and it's a scientific violation. It's just an ethical breach. You do poor science when you talk about the data you like and you don't talk about the data you don't like. Someone has to teach them that. Carnival says, what are the odds in coin flips that BA2 Omicron variant was made in lab? It's like a sibling. Yeah, you sent me this yesterday, but I was ending the show, so I didn't have the time to analyze this, but I looked at it yesterday. So Omicron, no intermediate form. As you can see, a broad split in a successful lineage is rare for SARS-2. So this would be the structure, the evolutionary structure of various strands. You have Delta here, Delta 21, Delta 21A, 21I, 21J. You have Lambda, Mu. Omicron is here. Okay, Lambda and Mu here. Omicron 21K is here. And Omicron 21L is here. And the important thing here is the important distinction between this group of viruses and this group of viruses. And your suggestion, if I read again your entropy message, is that what are the odds in coin flips that BA2 Omicron variant was made in a lab? Well, the fact that a bunch of viruses here distinguish themselves from a bunch of virus here without significant, without any sort of intermediaries, is not necessarily an indication that it's more likely to come from a lab. So I've already given my thoughts on the lab hypothesis at the beginning of the show. It's getting very strong and very specific, like which lab and who. But just this phylogenetic separation is not an argument that is in favor of a lab or non-lab hypothesis. The reason being, nature has plenty of other mechanisms than those that modify your genome continuously and slowly. You know, this is often something reproached to evolutionary theory, and people say Darwin was wrong. Things don't evolve slowly and progressively. And to that, I say, no, that's not a counter of evolution, because no matter how Darwin phrased things, evolution has never been set, has never had a limit. There's nothing that keeps evolution from happening to a single chromosomal event that changes billions and billions of letters of DNA potentially in a being. So because you can have full recombination, especially in viruses, you know, they don't have sex. It's not systematic, but they have horizontal recombination events of all kind, where a segment of a successful virus gets connected with a segment of another successful virus, and it leads to these massive distinction between the two branches. I would say to the contrary, this really doesn't inform you, and if anything, this looks like what nature can do. But it's also possible to do this in a lab, but there's no reason to particularly believe this. And Carnival sends, oh yeah, I've consulted this, and I've decided not to go with the whole story of the insurance providers. You know, there are lots of insurance providers around the world. They come out in media, and it happened in America. And here, this one is a story from Germany. Large German health insurance company analyzed data from 10.9 million insured individuals regarding vaccination complications. The new data is alarming, says BKK board member Schaffbeck in a report by Welt. More, the letter from Schaffbeck, BKK board member, on the subject matter. The English version is auto-translated. So basically, there are some life insurance people who claim that they have a signal in their data indicating massive amounts of death or some kind of increase of amount of death. I've decided not to cover this as the truth yet, because we never get to see the data, and we never get to see how do you reach your conclusion. How have you quantified this? Is it a comparison from last year? Because in an aging population, for example, you will have more and more death happening every year. And it's going to be more and more in relation to the population, because as it turns out, the average population is getting older. So you can have these signals that are unrelated to vaccines. And the way we can conclusively determine whether one hypothesis is true or the other is by having a proper scientific method and a full transparency on, okay, what data are you using? Are you taking data from the last 5 years? Are you taking data right after the vaccine? How does this play out in time? And we could question the conclusions, but we never can in these news items. All you have is the cover story with the title that's, oh my God, insurance agent tells us that there is full amounts of death. And on top of it, there are the alternative hypotheses to be considering. is it possible, for example, that the lockdown has led to worse health? And if it has made the health of everyone worse, then you would end up having more diabetics and more heart attacks and more everything. Because these alternative hypotheses have not been covered and properly looked into, I dismiss these news items for now as potentially interesting signals, but that deserve further attention. And cultural Marxism says Truth Social banned an account making fun of Devin Nunes, CEO of Truth Social. We've covered this yesterday. Heard of another account being banned for saying it's okay to be white. Another account banned for criticizing AIPAC. Some people are saying the censorship is even worse than Twitter. What a clown show. It is a big problem. I was founding some amount of small hope on Truth Social, but I knew that I would be disappointed most likely, and it's headed for this. CBS earns blistering ratio for trying to blame US inflation on Ukraine's situation. The US economy has been hit with increased gas prices, inflation, and supply chain issues due to the Ukraine crisis. So they're trying to spin the current Russian crisis as, oh, this is why it's going bad in the world. This is why the gas prices are high. But we've seen this develop way before, and we've announced that it would happen more than a year ago at this point. I mean, the coverage of the inflation problem and the printing of money, we knew that this was all, and the increase of taxation and all attacks on CO2 and carbon emissions, all of this will combine for the highest gas prices we've known in history, and we've not seen the worst yet. What else do we have? Because we'll be headed toward a conclusion for the show. However, this is interesting. Why Trump's Truth Social may not survive the hype. Conservative alternative social networks keep making the same mistake. Today, let's talk about some of the less obvious ways that conservative social networks keep slipping up, and whether Truth Social, which has the backing of President Trump, can manage to avoid their fate. Justet says, no more 9 p.m. Eastern Time starts on Wednesday and Thursday, JF. Missed the first 15 minutes of tonight's show. Yeah, I'm sorry about this, but I had announced this, that it would be 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Wednesdays and Thursdays. It's looking more and more like I'll be able to do the show every day, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So that might be what we go for. I cannot yet guarantee anything, which is why I will tell you, just if you wonder about whether tonight's show is at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, you can always check the calendar on jfg.world. But I have no way to confirm for now that it will be this, but I think it's headed toward me having no more of the obligations I believed I had, and so we'll be able to return the vast majority of the shows 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and only on exception being at other times. First, the news. Truth Social is live in the App Store, blah, blah, blah. Truth Social also boasts one thing its rivals cannot, what seems to be at least one authentic post from Trump himself. That helped to spark a wave of signups that signals at least momentary curiosity into what Trump's presence could mean for a social app in 2022. In the immediate term, Truth Social isn't much of a threat to its rivals because almost no one has been allowed to use the site. CEO Devin Nunes told Fox News he intends for the site to be fully operational by the end of March. But if it's delayed beyond that point, it would not be a first for its parent company. It appears to be largely copied and pasted from elsewhere. in terms of the service document and the user interface. It prohibits false, inaccurate, or misleading content, a policy whose successful enforcement would represent a first in the history of the internet. Yeah, I was looking through the TOS today of Truth Social, and it's like, don't publish content that is otherwise objectionable, like violent, vicious, lewd, all these complex English words, and then at the end of the sentence, are otherwise objectionable. So essentially, they can ban anything under these terms of service. So I don't know. They're going to do whatever they want, just like big tech has been doing whatever they wanted, or if they were hosting some site, they have pressured this site to ban stuff in line with their own community guidelines. So my hope is thin for Truth Social. Rittenhouse has announced defamation lawsuits against the media, Whoopi Goldberg, and other celebrities who spread lies about him. It is time for accountability. She called me a murderer after I was found innocent or non-guilty. And Kyle Rittenhouse has a trailer video on Rumble, the Media Accountability Project. He wants to go after all these stars. And on the one hand, I like the idea of seeing someone on a crusade to punish the media. But at the same time, let's be clear here. This is not a solution to the problem of false allegations and smearing in media. This is one example. And okay, the thing is, most men who will get smeared in media operations will not have a not guilty verdict to brag about in a defamation lawsuit. See, look at the smearings of me, for example. There never was a criminal case against me. And so I can't start a lawsuit and say, oh, the Daily Beast lied, look, I was found not guilty. It's much more dirty. It's that they will report accusations that are unreliable, but they will report them as fact, and they will make their readers believe that it is fact. They will say, oh, he was accused of saying this, of doing this. So that's a much wider problem than the problem of, oh, she technically called you a murderer, and you've technically not been found a murderer in the court. That is, it's like a special example, and no solution will emerge from Kyle Rittenhouse suing one or 1,000 different personalities on the liberal TV. So let's not get too excited here. I will say to Kyle Rittenhouse, if you want to be serious about combating media smearing, find a solution that will remove credibility to the media, the way Elon Musk was suggesting. Elon Musk was suggesting some kind of a peer-to-peer, people-powered review of the quality of fact-checking and media sites. That may have something good there. But just going after specific personalities who happen to have lied about you in a special kind of situation, I don't think it's going to help the millions of men who get smeared in the media and in family courts across this nation every day. The tragedy of capitalism. BLM faces growing questions over millions of donations. Well, that is not surprising. Of course, the whole domain of nonprofit, it's a way for people to accumulate money for causes, and then they pay themselves salary, $100,000, $200,000, some millions of dollars. And that's it. That's what a nonprofit is. So if you send money to BLM, you should expect that it will eventually find itself purchasing a house for a leader of BLM. Justat says, arguably .io is your number one place for hashtag fact checking. Well, yeah, I mean, it's been dormant for a week now, so not much new stuff on the side of arguably. But I didn't have much time and I have to finish a book because I really want to respond to this viewer who wanted me to read the Frank Salter book. So I'm investing lots of effort to get done with the reading. And then I'll be back on editing arguably at times when I'm available. But if you guys want to continue working on the encyclopedia, it's a very long-term project. So I'm not worried if it's not growing on a particular week. I had some ideas of stuff we could write. I wanted to go over the whole American propaganda and of the Ukraine-Russia thing. For example, many media have been suggesting that Vladimir Putin is doing this in breach of the Minsk agreement. And perhaps we deserve a page on arguably.io that presents this idea that the Minsk agreements have been violated way before today. They've been violated since 2015 because there was supposed to be election, there were supposed to be constitutional reforms that didn't happen. And so what happens when you violate a contract, but the contract has been violated by your opponent 7 years before? Well, that means that the contract was null and void already. So you can't be said to have violated this contract. Anyways, that is it for tonight, boys. I'm happy that we are back on Odyssey, that things are rolling. I was worried about the fact, even at the beginning tonight, it didn't seem to work, but now it's working. So wonderful. I'll be concluding the show and I will see you all tomorrow.